And especially our Shakayach as we get started, to those who have an AP later today and are still joining us for Shir, it should be a big zchus, both in the morning and in the afternoon. Yesterday we began the sugya of Nat Barnat. The sugya, as the Gemara calls it, of Dagim Sha'alu Bika'ara, the fish that have been placed, as Rashi said, hot fish, straight off the grill, straight out of the pan, that goes straight onto this fleshik plate. And the question is, what's the status of those fish? They were hot on a fleshik plate. Fleshik equipment. There's no fleshik ingredients in the fish. The ingredients themselves are totally pariv, but it was hot in fleshik equipment. So we had seen yesterday, Gemara, the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph in the days. Gemara said, what's it din? Is it fleshig or is it pariv? What do the Amoraim say? Fleshig or pariv? The answer is exactly. Machlekes. Right? Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav was machmer, Shmuel was mekel. Rav said, look, it was in fleshig equipment. It's fleshig. Tom Kicker. There's a blia from the fleshig equipment. Gets into the fish. So now it's fleshig. And Shmuel says, this is two steps removed. This is not bar not. No Saint Tom bar no Saint Tom. He says, if I took the fish and I mamish cooked it with meat, so then it's mamish fleshik. Or if I have a fleshik pot and I put milchiks in it. Okay, that was the previous sugya. Kedei shibishma basali vashu b'chav. Right? There's only one step in between the fleshik and the milchiks. That's the problem. Ah, but here are the two steps. Right? I used this pan for hot fleshiks last night for supper. So it went from the fleshiks into the pan, and this morning from the pan into the fish. And only afterwards it's going to hit the milchiks. So that's no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom. That's not a problem, says Shmuel. So that was a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Do we say, look, it went down a level, now it's okay? Or no? And we saw halacha lamaisa, the Gemara does come to conclusion. The Gemara already begins to tell us before the very end of the sugya, before the very end of the Amud, we start to hear there were Talmidim of Rav who followed Shmuel. Right? The Gemara spoke about two Talmidim of Rav, Rav Huna, Rav Chiya bar Ashi. Each one did not follow a particular shita of their Rebbe Rav. And one of them did not follow Rav's position on Dagim Sha'alu B'Ka'ara. One of them was willing to eat dagim sha'alu bika'ara, to eat the fish that had been hot in the fleshik, the clean fleshik kli, he ate it with milchik sauce against his rabbi. So they said, what is this? Yasma, you orphaned from your rabbi, chas v'shalom, you disconnect from your rabbi. He said, no, I follow Shmuel. On this issue, I follow Shmuel. So we're already beginning to see that in the next generation, some of the Talmidim of Rav were following Shmuel, that not barnat is parv. And then indeed, the Gemara says, in the bottom line, and this we saw yesterday, the Chizkiya quoted B'Shem Abaye several generations later, in the middle of the period of the Amoraim, Hilchasa like Shmuel. Hilchasa dagum sha'ol b'kaira mutar la'achlam b'kutum. That's the first half of the Hilchasa. We'll have to get back to the second half of the Hilchasa, the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, later this morning. But that's where we left off yesterday. Machlokas hatanoim. Again, let's back up even more. We have a Tosefta earlier in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, right? The Kedei Shabish Babasa Lei Vasha Bachalav. The Tosefta earlier in Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Tosefta from Trumas, says there is an idea of Fleshik Kalim. There is an idea of Milcha Kalim. If you melt butter in a Fleshik pan, that's an Usser and can even make a Treif if the pan is a Ben Yalom. But how about if you didn't put butter in the Fleshik pan, you just put noodles or broccoli or salmon, so that's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and we paskin like Shmuel, the salmon, the broccoli, the noodles that were in the fleshik, clean fleshik container, pot, parv. Okay. So, number one, we're going to expand this before we move on to the next topic, which is Davar Charif. We're going to expand this in essentially two critical ways. The Ran gives us an important way of thinking about this and giving us a svara Lomda Shehezber for why not Barnat is Pariv, he's going to give us a couple of nafkaminas, both of which, both are interesting. One of them can be very practical. One of them might come up in your kitchen. And then we'll also see a very important tosos. We'll see part of a very important tosos, and that tosos will help us to understand what we saw. We had left off yesterday with a puzzle, which is that if you open Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber passes like the Gemara, but the Ramah seems to not pass like the Gemara. Ramah says, no, not Barnat is not Parav. What, he's passing like Rav? Not exactly. So we'll hold on to that puzzle for now, for a couple of minutes. But for now, again, the Gemara says clearly, we pass like Shmuel, Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, but not Barnat. Whether not Barnat, whether dairy equipment, food is Milchik or Parav, we pass like Shmuel, Parav. It's an extra step removed. It's a no Saint Tom bar, no Saint Tom. It's a not bar not. So that is pop. Take a look, please, in the back of the Gemara at the Ran. The Ran develops an idea. It's already in Tosfos. You see, there's long Tosfos that goes from Kufyud Alf to Kufyud Beis. This idea already appears at the very end of Tosfos, but the Ran really says it more sharply, as Ataz points out. That Tosfos. Alludes to the idea, the Ran really says it. So let's take a look at the Ran. Maybe we can come back to Tosfos afterwards. The Ran and Ar Gemara, Parakal Abasar, if you're using an old print of the Gemara like I am, it's Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. DJ, you had told us yesterday, if you're using the new Oz Vahada, where is it? Okay, good. Okay, great. Excellent. So whichever print of the Gemara you're using, thank you. Whichever print of the Gemara you're using, take a look. So let's take a look. Haveyo Day is a long. The Ran has a lot to say about Dag Mashal Bekaira. You see here he starts in Mem Amid Beis Bedap Yerif. It goes all the way to Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. But this is really a line and a half. If you can't find it, just listen carefully. But if you can find it, Avada Osios Machkimos, Kedai to see it inside. I see the Elm is looking inside. Excellent. It's the first wide line, Amem Aleph Amem Aleph, after the narrow lines. Heveyo at the dot. Heveyo Deya. The Ran says, you should know, Delo Sharina not Barnat, Ela Bishal Heter, Kibasar Bechalav. He says, we only say, not Barnat is Mutter, is Parav, if the taste is already Heter. It's already a mutter taste. What does he mean? Like basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav is mutter. Last time I checked, basar b'chalav is treif. What does he mean? Like basar b'chalav where it's mutter? So what he means is the idea that actually came up in the previous sugya, which wasn't relevant then, but is relevant now. Remember the difference between hetera bala and isura bala? Abai had mentioned in the previous sugya, Rava said, no. That's not relevant to the maliach issue, but it is relevant. I told you then, it's going to come up in the next sugya. Then is now. The Ran says, when we say not Barnat is Parav, not Barnat is Parav. But if it's only an issue of Fleishig versus Parav, that's what he means by Heter. It's an issue, is it Fleishig or is it Parav? Like Basar Bechalav, not Basar Bechalav together. In Hilchas, Ran means in Hilchas, Basar Bechalav. If I'm discussing, is it Fleishig or is it Parav? If I'm discussing, is it Milchig or is it Parav? So then Shmuel said, not Barnat is Parav. Why? And just before we even go on, what's he saying? As opposed to what? As opposed to, if the initial flavor wasn't fleishig, but treif. That's an interesting question. Right? In other words, let's say I'm in a treif a kitchen. Let's say I have kosher food that was cooked in a treif a pot. Right? So kosher food cooked in treif or pot, the food itself is tam rishon. But let's say I took my kosher spoon and stuck it into that hot food. Right? Someone baked apples. No spices, nothing. Plain apples. Baked apples in a treif or pan. A clean treif or pan. So you're not allowed to eat the apple, that's for sure. The apple is a tam rishon, right? That's the brisa. Kedair Shabishabasa. Okay. But But let's say I didn't eat the apple. It's just that we threw the apple out. But before we realized it had been cooked in a treif a pan, I had stuck my kosher spoon into the apple. Did my spoon become treif? They say, no, it's like, that's like not barnat. It's too many steps removed. So Ron says, sorry. This whole idea of not barnat, there's fewer steps, it dies out. That's only if it's a question of milchix versus parv, fleshix versus parv. It's only if it's hetera bala. Why? Says Zeran. Take a look inside. The kivin de tam shen ya kati heteru. That you get to the second flavor and it's still kosher. In other words, yeah, I had a piece of, we made fleshix for supper last night. Let's imagine. So I had flesh. That was actual basar. The flavor went into the pot. So the pot is a tam rishon, right? That's 1 degree removed from the meat. Then this morning we use that pot to make pasta. So now the flavor lands in the pasta. That's a tam sheni. That's 2 steps removed. The pasta is 2 steps removed from the meat, right? From the meat to the pot, from the pot to the pasta. So it's a not bar not, that pasta. Akati heteru, and still mutter. Right? It hasn't touched any milchix yet. So therefore what? Kaven da aklish kule hai, it's already so kolish, kuf lamed vavshin. It's so weak, lo chashev lemesar. That's not enough of a flavor to become treif. Ron is saying something interesting. He's saying, Rav had a point. There is still some flavor left. There's a little bit of fleshic flavor in the otherwise power of pasta. But it's so weak. It's not that there's nothing. But it's so weak that you can't, that cannot create a new iser. The flavor went from the meat to the pot. And then from the pot to the pasta. A little bit of fleshic flavor. It's a tam kolosh. It's a weak flavor. And it's at this point when the fleshix lands in the pasta, still kosher. Right? Still just a question of fleshix or parv. So it says the Ran, so it already landed in the pasta. It's still kosher. If you're going to subsequently add some butter, add some cheese, you can't create an iser basa b'chal with such a weak flavor. A new iser won't be chal on such a weak flavor. But if the thing is usser, if I had not flavor of fleshix, but I had used the pan for bacon. I fried bacon in the pan last night for supper. Or let's put it better. Christopher used his pan last night for a bacon supper. Or Christopher used his pan this morning for a bacon and eggs breakfast. Then we scrub out the pot. And we're going to use that pan for kosher food for lunch. So, and then that food's going to go into another pan. And then the other food's going to go into that pan. Step by step by step, tam sheni, tam shlishi, tam revi. And he says, no, if it's already started, the bacon itself was treif. Kol hecha de'ika, tam akal, as long as any flavor, oser ad sof holo. So that's what the Ran says. That the idea of not barnat is that it's a tam kolosh. It's a weakened flavor. It's a weakened flavor. So if the flavor already leveled down to tam sheni, it already landed in the pasta, 2 steps removed from the fleshig, and it still isn't treif yet, it's not going to become treif now. A weak flavor cannot become treif. A new iser cannot be chal on an already weakened flavor. That's what the Ran says. Yeah. Moshe Inger, question. Excellent question. Where did the Ran get this from? How did he know this? Right? How did he know that you need a weak flavor can maintain a pre-existing iser, but you cannot create a new iser with a weak flavor? Where did he get it from? Or to put it differently, how did he know that not barnat is a weak flavor as opposed to no flavor? It's sort of a corollary question. So that corollary question, how do you know it's like a weak? I would have said it's nothing. Not by not a zero. So the answer to that probably is, look, it's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So it's hard to imagine that the machlokas is there flavor or not. I mean, taste it. Kvela, right? Just have a taste, have a lick, right? So that's what the Ran says. Rav and Shmuel, they're not arguing over is there flavor or not. They both agree that there's a little bit of flavor left, but it's, you know, two steps removed. So Rav says, I don't care if it's two steps removed. Any bit of flavor counts. And Shmuel says, well, two steps removed, that's already what? Two steps removed, Shmuel apparently says, well, it doesn't count enough to become treif. Doesn't count enough to become treif. But where did he get this sort of that background svara, or the svara that the Ran is presenting, that to differentiate between hetera bala and isura bala, if that weak flavor started as kosher, it'll stay kosher. So only if it started as treif, then it'll remain treif. Where did he get that distinction from? There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the halachas of kashering. I don't want to get too deeply in, because I think it'll be more confusing than helpful. But there is, Rav Schechter points out in his article in Bikvei Hatzon, where he discusses this Ran, that there are other reflections of this idea that we differentiate between hetera bala and isura bala. If something is kosher for now, then as long as you whittle it down to a weak flavor, it'll stay kosher. But if it's treif, then you have to eliminate the flavor entirely. So it's another example of this idea that the Ran is saying again, that a weak flavor can maintain the pre-existing isur, but you can't create a new isur with a weak flavor. Now the truth is, the Ran is also using it as Tosfos is to explain a psak of one of the early Baalei HaTosfos. One of the early Baalei HaTosfos, his name is Rabbeinu Baruch. You don't hear him as much in the world of Nashim Nezikin. You hear him more in Aruch Chaim and Yarideya. Rabbeinu Baruch wrote a Sefer HaTruma. That was one of the early Kitzurei Halacha of the Baalei HaTosfos. It was like the, if you want, you could say it was the Chaye Adam of the 1200s. The 1200s in Ashkenaz. Right? Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTruma. The Ran goes on, you see the very next line, the Chasa B'Sefer HaTruma. The Ran goes on to quote a Sefer HaTruma. If you turn back to Kuf Yud Beis Amid Aleph, Tosfos also quotes it. They don't tell you. They want to know the following. Rabbeinu Baruch raises the following question. I'll give you first his case, which seems a little foreign, and then I'll give you a much more practical case that the Taz points out. We'll see inside. How about if I need to wash the dishes? So I took milchik dishes. So how do you wash dishes? Now we wash dishes in the dishwasher, right? Or in the sink, right? One or the other. Either stick it in the dishwasher, put in detergent, press a button, and later on it's clean, or in the sink, right? You scrub everything, right? You ever try washing dishes with cold water? If you've ever tried washing dishes with cold water on Shabbos, Friday night to get things ready for Shabbos day, right? It's hard in the hands, and it's hard to get stuff off. Stuff gets gooky stuff. It's harder to get it unstuck with cold water. So how do we get hot water to wash the dishes? So you're all looking at me like, what are you talking about? You have hot water. Yes, because we were all zochet to indoor plumbing, and there's a boiler in the basement. So you just turn on the hot water, and suddenly, look at that, there's hot water coming out of the tap. So Baruch Hashem, we're very lucky. 150 years ago, 250 years ago, 850 years ago, like in the days of the Rabbeinu Baruch, you know how you got hot water for washing the dishes? That's right. You had a big, big pot, and you filled it with water, and you put it on the fire, and you heated up the water. And then you threw in your dirty stuff, and that's how you started to clean your dishes. Okay, so Rabbeinu Baruch says, imagine you have this big, big, massive dishwashing cauldron, the hot water, and you realize you ended up with both milchik and fleishik dishes in it at the same time. Oops. Yikes. Now what? had milchik spoons and fleishik spoons in the same milchik pots and fleishik pots in the same big dishwashing thing. So they say, number one, there's probably, if everything was dirty, that means you have pieces of meat and pieces of cheese floating around the water. That's a toxic combination. But let's say everything was already wiped clean. Oh, why are you sticking in the dishwasher if it's wiped clean? Good question. So let me give you another more practical example. You have a pot, a fleishik pot. By the dishwasher example, everything inside is just water. So I have a fleishik pot with water in it, or maybe a fleishik pot with pasta in it, or a fleishik pot with broccoli in it. Right? And I stuck a milchik ladle into that broccoli, in the pot. The pot is on the fire. Right? I'm making power food in a fleishik pot, and I stuck in a milchik spoon. That could happen. And I told you before, the original case from Benu Baruch, we don't have dishwashing pots. But here's an example that can happen. That's an example that can happen. I have fleishik pot, power food heating in the fleishik pot, and I stick in a milchik spoon. What's the din? How would you think about that one? So at first you might say, look, we paskin not barnad is parv, right? I have a fleishik pot, and I have pasta in the fleishik pot. What is the pasta fleishik or parv? What's the din? Parv. Not barnat the heter of parv. Right? It says, hey, it's parv pasta. I stuck a milchik spoon. It's a parv pasta. What could be wrong? Seems a little strange. Right? But Nassan al-Dit says, yeah. Oh, gewaldig. So remember, the Ran had told us the way that not bar not works is the flavor lands in the pasta and it's still parv. And then you take it out of the pot, put it on your plate, parv plate, and sprinkle cheese on. Right? Oh, okay. So the reason why not bar not works, and here we come back to Moshe's point, the reason why not bar not works, the Ran said, is there's a little bit of flavor, but if it lands in the pasta, now it's just a tam sheni, a tam kol, weak tam, and it has become treif yet, it won't become treif now. But as Nisanel said, when you stick the milchik ladle into the pasta, hot pasta, on the fire, while the pasta is submerged in the fleishik pot, so the milchik ladle and the fleishik pot are both pumping their flavors into the pasta. It's still on the fire. So the fleishik pot is still oozing its flavor into the pasta, and the milchik ladle in the hot pasta is oozing its milchik flavor into the pasta. Oh, so that's a problem. That's not by not. There it's as it's landing, as the fleishik flavor is landing in the pasta, it's hitting milchik flavor. As the milchik flavor is landing in the pasta, it's hitting fleishiks. That's essentially the chumrah of Rabbeinu Baruch. That's what Rabbeinu Baruch said. Right? Again, he spoke about a different case. We have, I have my big dishwashing pot and I stick in a clean milchik spoon and a clean fleishik spoon into the hot water. But it's the same idea. I have two kalim in the same hot water, but they're parv water, but they're both pumping their flavor into the parv hot water at the same time. So again, we don't do dishwashings. For us, it's easier to think about the milchik ladle, the fleishik pot, and the power of a food. But that's what the Taz points out. It's all the same thing. That's what the Taz points out. That is all the same thing. If you want to see the Taz inside, the Taz is Sifkatan Ches. Simen Sadihe Sifkatan Ches. Okay. He quotes Tosus, he quotes the Ran, he points out the Ran explains this more. Let's see a little bit of the Taz inside. I think we'll have a good Osios Machimos here. So let's share. Let's take a look at the Taz inside. Okay, so here we are. So the Taz says, Taz Yosef Kanches, he quotes Tosos, and Biran Mavur HaTama Shein Shel Tosos. The Ran explains the Biyosef, the Ran explains Tosos more. The Ran that we just saw. Umishum Hachi, Memhei. Therefore, Taz says, "In nizbashal mayim o yirakos b'kedera choleves basyoma, if you cooked boiled water or you cooked vegetables, yirakos b'kedera choleves basyoma, in a milchik pot which is a basyomo, still I used it last night for milchiks, now I use it this morning for pasta. V'tachvu bo kafshal basar ben yoma, and you stuck in a ben yomo fleshik ladle into the milchik pot. The food is parv. The food is vegetables." The ein shishim keneged akaf bas yoma. And the ladle is big and the pot contents are small and you don't have 60 times as much vegetables as the volume of the ladle. Osrim zeh ezeh. Everything becomes treif. The food goes in the garbage, the ladle has to be kashered, and the pot has to be kashered. If you'll shnei mikunachos, yofe. Even though they're both very clean, there's no residue, there's no grease on the surface. So he says, there you go. And there, Taz even has an interesting line. He says, that's what we were just talking about. He says, even the case of the ladle and the pot is exactly the same as the milk and fleshik spoons being cleaned in the big dishwashing pot. Shulchan Aruch quoted that case, Rabbeinu Baruch, the toast is around. So why am I bothering to make this explicit, the Taz says, the case of the ladle and the pot? I want to explicitly write by this case a ladle because that happens all the time. There you go. It's not just your kitchen where kashrus catastrophes happen. Every kitchen has kashrus catastrophes. And the Taz says on the official list of top five most likely scenarios to happen is this case. I was making eggs in a milchik pan. But there were no cheese in the eggs. It was just plain eggs in a milchik pan, and I accidentally stuck in a fleshik spatula. Right? This sort of case, it happens all the time. So again, if the spatula, if it's a little fork and a lot of eggs, so maybe so much volume of eggs that'll be mevatel the taste of the fork. Okay, then we're fine. Or maybe some of the items being used are not b'nei yomon. It wasn't, the fleshik fork hasn't been used for fleshiks in the last 24 hours. The milchik pan has not been used for milk in the last 24 hours, as we discussed yesterday. Okay, so if I have a kli, if the bli in a kli is more than 24 hours old, it expires. It's still usher to use the milchik kli with fleshiks or vice versa. But if you did, it won't make a treif. It won't impact the old flavor. Eino ben yomo won't impact anything else. Okay. But if you don't have shishim and things are b'nei yomon, then this will create a problem. So again, let's encapsulate. Let's recap and then we'll take Akasha. I see Donnie has his hand up. Let's recap what we've seen so far. We have a din of not parnat. We have a case of not parnat in the Gemara. Gemara is a machlokas amaram is not parnat parv or fleshik. The Gemara passes like Shmuel. Not parnat is parv. So the first thing we saw is the Ran said, let's lumd us in terms of why not parnat is parv with two or three nafkaminas. Right? The lumd is why not parnat is parv. It's not that there's no flavor at all. It wasn't the machlokas Rav and Shmuel Metzias, is there any taste or not? It's directly observable. Try it, experiment, and see what it tastes like. Right? So the machlokas Rav and Shmuel was not whether or not there is flavor. The Ran didn't make that point, but he allows us to answer that question. They both agreed that there's a weakened flavor. Rav said, I don't care about weakened or not. Weakened flavor is flavor. And Shmuel said, no, weakened flavor is going to stay parv. Right? And the Ran explained, weakened flavor can stay parv. If the flavor starts as treif, it'll stay treif. But if it starts as kosher and parv, it'll stay parv. Or it starts as mutter, it was just fleishig. It wasn't a taste of treif. Just a taste of fleishig, mutter, so it's going to stay mutter. Once you go down to not bar not, you cannot become, you cannot create a new Isser with a tam kalish, right? That explains on the one hand why not bar not is only a kula in basar b'chalav. It's not a kula if you have treifa pans. And if I made food, kosher ingredients in pans that be used for bacon, not bar not is not going to help me. Because there, the flavor of the bacon started tray from the outset. Right? So that's what we call, it has to be a not by not dehetera. It has to be a not by not, which is muta. That's number one. Number two is, I mentioned tip of the hat, this comes up in the world of koshering as well. We didn't get into those details. And number three is the case of the ladle and the pot. If a food is simultaneously becoming a not by not to both milchik and fleshik, because I have the vegetables in the pot, in the fleshik pot, but I also have the milchik ladle in the vegetables all at the same time, that is a problem. So they're all nafkaminas, and the Ran's lumdus. So what? Again, it's, and as Taz pointed out, Tosas already sort of says it in the Ran, but we saw the Ran because the Ran said it very explicitly. It was at the very end of that long Tosas on Kufi Beis and Alf. The Ran said more explicitly, again, that not bar not is not, it's so hard to say this without being unclear. I said not bar not is not. Okay. No Saint Tom bar no Saint Tom is not zero flavor. It's weakened flavor. Right? That was the Yisod. That was the Ran's first step. That the Tom Shaney, let's call it, not bar not, or Tom Shaney. It would be incorrect to say that a Tom Shaney has no flavor. It would instead be correct to say that a Tom Shaney has weakened flavor, step one. And step two, here was the halachic principle, that weakened flavor, you cannot create a new iser with weakened flavor. So if it was just fleshig, but still kosher, it's not going to become basar b'chalav once it's Tom Shaney. Okay, that was the concept of the Ran. Right? And now looking at the board, there you go. Right, so Dag Mashal Bukaira, it's Davka if it's now let's reveal some more words on the board, right? So in the world of Dagum Shaul Bekaira, coming back to the whiteboard, can you see the whiteboard? Dagum Shaul Bekaira, right, this is this idea of the Ran to differentiate between Hetera and Isura. To differentiate between Hetera and Isura, it's Dafka, the whole idea of Naprana is only Naprana de Hetera. Right? Tam Kalosh, not. And by the way, let's take a look back at the Shulchan Aruch for a moment. And we'll see the Shulchan Aruch already said this. I had just skipped over those words yesterday. So I show you the first line in Siman Sadihei. We had already seen this yesterday. When the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in, here's Sadihei. Dagim shenis bashlo nitzlu bikadera shel basar rechutza yafa. If I have fish that were cooked or grilled in a fleshik pan, rechutza yafa, it's clean. There's no fleshig grease. If there's fleshig grease, then the fish would be a tam rishon. If there's still chunks of fleshig, then the flavor is going straight from the meat into the fish. But if it's rechutza yafa, if it's a clean pan, so the only flavor that's going to fish is going via what was absorbed, the tam habalua, what was absorbed into the pan, then mutar l'achlum bekutach, you're allowed to eat that fish in milchik sauce. Why? Here we go. Mishum Davi, no Saint Tom, bar no Saint Tom, de hetera. Because it's a not bar not, de hetera. It's a not bar not of a flavor that was kosher, just fleshik. And so that's, here is that one word, de hetera, the Shulchan Aruch is codifying, is paskining, like this idea of the Ran. Again, it's already, as I mentioned, toast, the end of that toast already has it, but the Ran says it nice and clear. Okay. Now we're, so that was the first major concept within not bar not was, I told you there would be two, the Ran and Tosas, right? So we saw the Ran. He developed the idea that the again, the lumdus of not barnat is it's a tam, it's not zero tam, but rather it's a tam kolosh, but a tam kolosh the heteris stays mutter, and that explains why, again, all the nafkaminas we just gave. The not barnat doesn't apply to bacon, not barnat doesn't apply when you stick a fleshik ladle into a milchik pot. Now let's move on to Tosas. Because Tosas is going to have another limitation. Tosas is going to explain to us why the Ramah seems to have, at first glance, deleted the din of not barnat. Again, Yesh Machmir, the Ramah says, as if base. Yesh Machmir, but Tzliya Bishul, less or no sentam by no sentam. Minig less or lechatrila. Minig is we avoid this. Ashkenazim do not take pasta made in the fleshik pot and put cheese on it. Svardim would. That's a Gemara. Right? The Svardim are sitting pretty. Svardim are not shver. That's a Gemara. We pass on like Shmuel. What's going on with Ashkenazim? We're Machmer and not Barnat. What? We pass on like Rav? The Gemara said Hilchasuk is Shmuel. Right? So the answer lies in a Tosas. Let's take a look at least at a little bit of Tosas. Now, some of you are ready to take a look at Bechavrusa Baruch Hashem. And if you have not yet, you will see it. You will see it when we head to Seder. In another 10-15 minutes. Let's take a look at Tosas Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We were looking before at the very end of the Tosas, the tail end of Tosas on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that he discusses the Sefer HaTruma with the washing dishes and the concept of the run. But let's take a look. This Tosas has a lot to say. This tells us all the different issues of not barnat. So let's pick up a couple lines into Tosas. Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we're going to see a machlokas uncle and nephew. A machlokas uncle and nephew. What's the machlokas? So here a few lines into Tosas where he says b'shem Rashi. You got it? Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis and Chum. B'shem Rashi pirish rivan chasano. The rivan who was the chassan, the son-in-law of Rashi. It's usually assumed that Rashi had three daughters and no sons. His daughters married Talmidei Chachamim, or married men who grew into Talmidei Chachamim. So the most famous of the sons-in-law probably is Rabbeinu Meir. And he's famous in large part because of his sons. Rashi's grandsons, through Rabbeinu Meir, were two very famous ones. One was named Shmuel, Rabbeinu Shmuel Bar Meir, the Rashbam, one of Rashi's elder grandsons, and Rashbam's younger brother, Yaakov, who grew up to be known as Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Yaakov Ben Meir is known as Rabbeinu Tam. Yaakov is Tam, so Tam is a clever nickname for Yaakov. And Baruch Hashem, in this year, we have another young man who is Mamshech, this minig of Tam, being a nickname for Yaakov, and Mirtz Hashem, you should be Zoicha to follow in the footsteps of your double namesake, Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Tam, to talk Vaksos, with incredible Simcha in learning, and incredible Bekias in learning, and incredible Amkas in learning. So, but the original Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam were brothers, they were both sons of Rabbeinu Meir, grandsons of Rashi. Okay. So that was, Rabbeinu Meir was one of Rashi's sons-in-law. Another one was the Rivan. And the Rivan gets quoted in Tosas from time to time as quoting things in the name of Rashi, and often, you don't hear him so often, but often when he, of the times he's quoted, very often Tosas, the later by Tosas were not happy with what the Rivan claimed he heard from his shver, what the Rivan claimed he heard from his father-in-law. And this is probably one of the most famous examples. There's another famous example in Yivamas. Perhaps the most famous example of the Rivan quotes B'Shem Rashi and the Bali Tosas weren't so happy is right here. B'Shem Rashi Pirish Rivan Chasano. Again, Tosas and Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis and Chulin. A couple of lines in to Dimras Hilchasa. B'Shem Rashi Pirish Rivan Chasano. The Rivan quote in the name of his father-in-law Rashi. He said, you know, the language of the Gemara in developing the case is interesting. Dagim Sha'olu Bika'ara. Fish that were ole, they rose in a pan. I mean, they rose in a pan. How do fish rise in a pan? That's a pretty strange way of putting it. And they rise. What does that mean? So you look in Rashi, look in actual Rashi, across on the left side of the page. Dagam Shalu Bikaira, the first Rasha in the Sugya. He says, Minatz, we saw this Rasha, right? Olu Bikaira Minatzli came up onto the plate, means I took them off of the grill and I put them up onto a fleshic plate. Kishahin Roskin, when it was still steaming hot, Nisana Sokhakar Shahu Abbas. We put it while still hot onto a plate that had previously been used for fleshics. Right? So you'll notice Rashi takes pains to explain what the case is. You would have expected that it would be like we said before. You grilled the fish on a fleshic grill, in a fleshic pan. You cooked it in a fleshic pot. That's what we expect to hear. Instead, Rashi tells us twice. It wasn't cooked. It was hot fish from the grill that was put onto a subsequently, while still hot, transferred from the grill to the plate. Well, that rigmarole. Right? So, presumably, right, we've been trained to know that Rashi often answers questions without actually asking them. Right? There's often an implied question that he's responding to. So what's the implied question that Rashi is solving? So Rivan gives us a little insight. Dafka alu aval nisbashlu asa. He says Rashi is explaining, step one of the Rivan, is that Rashi is explaining the language of the Gemara is awkward. Why do you say dagam sha'alu bikar? What should the Gemara have said? What would be more typical, based on what we've seen in the other cases in the Gemara? Dagam sha'alu. And like we had before, kedera should bishul basol yevashal b'chol. The verb is always bishul. So all of a sudden we're talking about aliyah b'ka'ara instead of bishul b'kedera. Or are you putting on a plate instead of cooking in a pot or cooking in a pan? What's going on? So the Rivan said, that's Rashi's point. Rashi is explaining that the language of the Gemara, olu, bikar, and spev nisbashlu, means this specifically, this case, that it was put hot onto the plate after, but not that it was actually, not that it was grilled in a, or fried in a fleshic pan. No, the Gemara's case is that it was just put hot into the plate. Okay, that's step one, just in terms of pirish ha-Gemara. How do you read the language of the Gemara? How do you read Rashi? So Rivan says, Rashi has explained the difficulty in the language of the Gemara. What does alu mean? Why not say nisbash? The answer is, alu means it's talking about a different case. Not talking about cooking. It's talking about after you cooked it, you took it while it was still hot and you plopped it on a fleshic plate. Okay. That's in terms of the language of the Gemara. But now the question is, what's the halachic implication of that? Where does that lead us in terms of the body of Piskei Halacha? So the Rivan says it's not just a question of how you read the language of the Gemara; it's actually relevant to halacha. It says it again now back in Tosis. B'shem Rashi Pirush Rivan Chasa. No, Davka Olu Sharu. When we said that Dagmash Olu Bekayra is mutter according to Shmuel, Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. We pass like Shmuel is mutter. It's pariv. That's only if it's Olu. But Nizbashlu. But if it's actually cooked, fried, grilled in a fleshic pan. That is fleshik, aser. That would be aser to eat with cheese. Ooh. Now, the first question is, why? This is not by not. Why do I care whether I put the hot fish from the power of grill onto the fleshik plate, or I actually grilled the power of fish in the fleshik pan? One lemay nafkamina. It's a not by not. Right? So the Rivan says, let me explain. Kechad taimachashiv. That's considered like one flavor. What does that explain? Kechad taima chashev. It's like chad taima. It's like tama chad. So what the Rivan seems to be saying is, if you mamish, you grill the fish in a fleshic pan, that's mamish a major dosage of flavor, fleshic flavor from the pan into the fish. That's really fleshic. That's fleshic fish. This whole idea of narpanat. That's only when it's not only an extra step removed, it's two steps removed, but also how much flavor, there's been a lot of discussion lately about viral load. Right? How much viral load is being transmitted from person to person? Did you sneeze on him? Did you sing? Or you just breathed? Right? So how much fleshic load, let's use that as a muscle, how much fleshic load is being conveyed from the pan to the fish? So the Rivan says, well, it depends. If you grilled the fish in the pan, direct heat, for a good 10, 15, 20 minutes, that got a full dosage of fleishig, that fish is fleishig. Or the Rivan would say, if you actually cooked pasta in a fleishig pot, that became fleishig. You cooked broccoli, you steamed broccoli in a fleishig pot, that broccoli is fleishig. Rivan says, this whole kula, not, that's where you just, after it came out of the pot, you put it hot onto the fleishig plate. Okay. Hot pasta, cold plate. Hot fish, cold plate. It's not cooking there. It's still hot, and you put it there, and slowly the fish cools off. There's no heat source underneath. Okay, so that's a much less transmission of flavor. Much less of a fleishig load. So the Rivan says, that's not banat. But if you actually cooked it, that's kechad time, but that's like mamash cooking it with the meat itself. Now, where did this svara of the Rivan come from? Oh, this is more, this is less. So I would note that the Ran we had before is very helpful for the Rivan. Right? Because what the Ran taught, the way we picked apart the Ran before, and he said it's not that not a zero flavor, it's that it's less flavor. And if it's weak enough, it's a tam kolush, so then it's not going to become treif. Right? So the Rivan sounds like he's sort of adopting the Ran's svara and taking it a step further. Part of what makes a kalush is that it's two steps removed. Plus, it's further kalush because it was only alu, not nisbashlu. That is the chiddush of the Rivan. And he quotes it from his father-in-law, Rashi. And we just read Rashi. Rashi Dibur Maschel Dagim. It fit. And the Rivan, then they go on to quote a story that actually happened, a halachic story. Ubamaisa lefanav in Tosus. Ubamaisa lefanav, a case came before him. It sounds like before the Rivan, unless the Rivan's quoting Rashi, but it sounds like he's saying the Rivan once got the following shaila. What was the shaila? Beitzim shenes bashlu bekedera shel chalav. There were eggs that were boiled in a milchik pot. Right? Sounds like a naparnat. So it should be parav. The asr lasus mehem ulaisa shel basar. But he said you're not allowed to use those eggs to make a stuffing for meat. You cannot take those eggs that had been boiled in a milchik pot and mix them into meatloaf. Why not? Not bar not. So the answer is, this is the Rivan speaking. He says, not bar not, only if it's alu. But he was actually cooked in the pot. That is milchik. This is the shita of the Rivan. Which again, severely limits the kula of not bar not. Not by not is no longer about all those cases we talked about before where you cooked the broccoli in the pot or you cooked the pasta in the pot or you grilled the fish. Nah. The Rivan says the whole cool of not by not is only one little case where you, after you cook the power of food in the power of pot, you then put it while it's still hot onto the fleishig plate. That's a very limited kula. That's a very limited kula. Do we accept the Rivan? Well, Tosus is not so happy. Tosus does point out on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph that Behem Shachat Tosus, there is a Gemara Psachim that sounds like the Rivan, but on the other hand, they point out that take a look at the next Rashi. No Saint Tom, two Rashi's later. No Saint Tom bar no Saint Tomu. Back in Rashi. And Rashi's explained why Shmuel initially said the initial statement by Shmuel, the Naparnat is mutter. What does he say? Im hayumivu shalom in basar mamash. If the mamash cooked with the meat, so then it would be fleshy. Then you couldn't eat it with the milchiks. Right? But here is fine. It sounds like the case is cooking. Cooking with the meat is fleishig, but cooking just in the meat pot is parv. So the next Rashi sounds like against the Rivan. Against the Rivan. So now let's come back to our whiteboard. Let's come back to our whiteboard. So here's this issue of Alu versus Nisbashu. That's the second major issue. And if you were wondering, we were wondering before why the Rama seems to have gotten rid of the whole kula of Naparnat. It's because the Rama wants to be machmer like the Rivan against Rabbeinu Tam. Tosa goes on to quote the Rabbeinu on Kufi Beis and Alpha. Rabbeinu Tam was one of the ones who disagreed with the Rivan, his own uncle. Right, the Rabbeinu Tam was a son of Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Tam's mother and the Rivan's wife were sisters, daughters of Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam argued with his uncle Rivan about his nisbashul mutter or aser. So how do we paskin lehalacha? So Ashkenaz, so Sfardim ignore the whole Rivan. They follow the simple reading of the Gemara. Nisbashul is also mutter. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Here's Siv Beis. We already saw Siv Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch says, Napanat Teira is mutter. Nisbashlo mutter. Siv Beis is the case of the Rivan. Shulchan Aruch says, Beitzash Nisbashlo Mayim Bekadera Choleves. I have an egg that was cooked in water, plain water, clean pot, but a milchik pot. Mutter la seso so besocha tarnagolos. Afila chatri. You're allowed to use the egg as stuffing for the chicken. Even lechatchila, no problem. No problem. Why? Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rabbeinu Tam, the even nisbashlu was mutter, napanaz, even if it was cooked. Right? The Rivan had said treif. The Rivan said that egg is milchik. Don't put it inside the chicken. Okay. Again, Shulchan Aruch says nisbashlu bekedera imbasser. Just to be clear, if you have an egg in the cholent, you have potatoes in the cholent with the meat. That is fleishik. Everyone agrees that's fleishik. That's a tam rishon, because that was cooked, power food cooked directly with a piece of meat. It's fleishik. Just to be clear, even the Shulchan Aruch is only being mekel if it was cooked, power food cooked in a clean fleishik pot or a clean milchik pot, dairy equipment. Right? So dairy equipment. Here we are. So dairy equipment. What's a din of dairy equipment? Pashup shot, the Gemara said dairy equipment is parv. Right? Not bar not. The Teira is parv. But the Rivan threw in a monkey wrench. Because the Rivan said the Gemara is only talking about a case of alu. But if you actually cook the food in the fleshik equipment, cook the food in milk equipment, Rivan says, no, that's too much of a dose of fleshik. So milk, it's not parv. Right? So the question is dairy equipment parv or fleshik? Excuse me. Is dairy equipment parv or milchik? Is fleishik equipment parv or fleishik? So practically speaking, if it's dogim shenis bashlu bikedera, so machlokas Rivan and Rabbeinu Tam. Machlokas Shulchan Aruch and Rama, sort of. Let's see lahalacha. So again, dairy equipment for Sfaradim is absolutely parv. Absolutely parv. Power of food, that was the spaghetti that was made in the clean fleishik pot, heter gomer, don't put the cheese in the fleishik pot, don't stick a milchik spoon into the fleishik pot, but once you move the spaghetti out of the fleishik pot onto a plate, onto a paper plate, feel free to put cheese on, if you are Sfardi, because not bar not, parav. But Rama says, let's take a look at the Rama. The Rama is going to say, we sort of pasten like the Rivan. With five kulas. Let's go. And we're going to close today's shiur with this. Yesh machmirim b'tzliya u'bishel. Some are machmir if it was actually grilled or cooked in the milchik pot of fleishik pot. Lesser nosentam bar nosentam. That napanat is aser. That napanat is fleishik rather than parv. It's milchik rather than parv. Whose shita is that? Rivan b'shem Rashi. There you go. See in the parentheses in Rama. That's Rivan's version of Rashi. And the later Svarim quote is Vahatarach in the name of the Mordechai and the Arzaru. Okay. Some of the later Ashkenaz Rishonim do agree with Rivan. This machlok of Rivan and Beotam became over, that was at the beginning of the period of the Baalei Tosfos, became over the next couple of centuries a big machlok is even amongst the Ashkenazim. Whether it's only Alu, which is Parv, or even Nisbashlu is Parv. So he says, Yesh machmirim. How do we paskin, says the Rama? So again, Sfaradim hold, totally parv. The Ashkenazim hold, in between. So we hold like the Rivan, but with five kulos. You ready? We'll close with this. Five kulos. Let's read this Rama together. Haminig lesar lechatchila. Ashkenazi practices to asr lechatchila, meaning you are not allowed to take that spaghetti and put cheese on it. It's asr to do. That's a forbidden action. But here comes kula number one. Ubidieved mutar b'chol inyan. Bidieved means literally, not that I'm stuck. Bidieved means bishe asa. If I already did it post facto, mutar b'chol inyan. In other words, you're not. If you're an Ashkenazi, you're not allowed to put cheese on that. Not by not broccoli or that not by not pasta. But kula number one, if you put the cheese on, you're allowed to eat it. You don't have to throw it out in the garbage. You're not mechuyev to throw out food because of the rivan. That's kula number one, is bidieved is mutter. And here comes kula number two. V'davka lechol im chalav v'habasar atzma. Even lechatchila, the minhag Ashkenazim is not to put cheese on that broccoli, not to put cheese on that pasta, but turning the page, litnam beklisha lehem mutar lechatchila. I shouldn't take the pasta that had been made in a clean fleshek pot and put it and eat it with cheese if I'm Ashkenazi, but I am allowed to eat it on a fleshek plate or with a fleshek fork. So that's kula number two. V'cheinag, that's the minik. And number three, v'cheinim lo nizbashlo nitzlu t'chila. If it wasn't actually cooked in the fleshik pot, rak alu b'kli shal basar, it just was put cooked in a parav pot, and then hot, put onto a fleshik pan, mutar l'ochel min chalav atzmo. Well, that's even the Rivan agrees that alu is parav. And here's a fourth time when not burnout is mutter for Ashkenazim. Im haya klishin is basho nitzlubo lifgam shlohaya ben yomo. If you cooked pasta in a fleshik pot, but the pot was an eno ben yomo, meaning, going back to yesterday, the pot had not been used for actual meat in the preceding 24 hours. If all the fleshik bleeds in the pot are old, so then that is, and that, then the pasta is totally parv. So there the Ramah just gave us one after another. Ashkenazim hold, Ashkenazim are concerned about not banat, but he so far gave us four cases when it's mutter. Let's come here. Back to the whiteboard. Okay. Lahalacha for Ashkenazim, there are five kulas. What are they? Number one, we said bidyavit, right? Number two, we said, if you already mix in the cheese, you can eat the pasta with the cheese. And number two, even lechatchila, you're allowed to eat it in a milk with milk like forks and knives. The kli is mutter. Number three, even the Rivan agrees that the Gemara did say if it's merely alu and not nizbashlu, so that is mutter. The whole issue is only if it was actually cooked in the fleshik or milchik container. And the fourth thing that the Ramah said was alav beis yud, eino ben yomo. If the fleshik equipment that was used was eino ben yomo, the food is parv. And then finally, I told you the fifth kula, and the fifth kula is, here's a big one, Eino tzarich lahamtin. You don't have to wait. There's no waiting. In other words, this is only relevant to actually eating this with milchiks. But if I ate something made in fleshik equipment, it doesn't make me fleshik. So if I ate I'm not allowed to eat the pasta that was made in the clean fleshik pot, with cheese, but after I eat the pasta, I can have cheese 5 minutes later. It doesn't make me fleshik. No, and on the other end, if I am fleshik, I cannot eat milchiks, but I could eat dairy equipment food. So if I have Oreo cookies that say OUD, because they were made with milchik equipment, but you check the ingredients carefully and you recognize everything in the ingredients and you see that nothing in those ingredients is milchik, you have to know, sometimes it's hard to know what the ingredients even are. What's stearic acid and what's whey? stearic whey could be milchik. But if you recognize all the ingredients and you see nothing there is milchik, it's just OUD because it's dairy equipment, because it's a not bar not. So you're not allowed to eat that with flesh. I'm not allowed to eat an Oreo cookie if I check and this type of Oreo cookie is only dairy equipment, no dairy ingredients. I'm not allowed to eat it. I can't, you know, stick a piece of hard salami inside the Oreo to enhance the sandwich. That would be mutter for Svardim, but aser for Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim don't eat flesh with not bar not of milchik. But you don't have to wait afterwards. Right? So if it's a not bar not of fleshik, it doesn't make you fleshik. You eat milchik afterwards. And if you are fleshik, you're allowed to eat dairy equipment within 6 hours or 3 hours, however long you wait between fleshik and milchik. There's no need to wait. So again, let's now put together the sugya of not bar not to encapsulate everything for today. The Gemara had said, Dagum Sha'ol Bekaira. The Gemara had said that if the fish were served in the on the fleshik platter, hot fish on a fleshik platter, that is machlokas amoram, whether it's fleshik or parv, machlokas Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara is clear, we pass it like Shmuel. The Gemara is clear, pass it like Shmuel, and yet the Rishonim imposed restrictions on this idea from two different directions. The first one was the restriction of the Ran, and the second one was the restriction of the Rivan in Tosus. Right? First one was the Ran. The Ran had explained that Napanat only applies by Napanat de Hetera, not by Napanat de Isura. It's only by question of Milchik versus Fleshik, but not question of Kasher versus Treif. Okay. And that was, again, because the underlying Lumdus, the Ran had explained, of Tom Kalish. Okay, we saw other Nafkamias in that as well. And then the Rivan in Tosas had to argue the name of his father-in-law Rashi, a big limitation, that the whole idea of Napana is only when it's Alu, but not Nisbash, the whole Kula of Napana, not the Rivan thing, is only one funny case. Right? I took the food from the pot, hot out of the power of pot, and I put it onto a fleshik plate. But the typical case was actually cooked in a fleshik pot, then a taka is fleshik. That was the shita of the Rivan. Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim disagreed. They said, no, even Nisbash was mutter. Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Mekilim. Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, that even if it was mamash cooked in a fleshik pot, still parv. And that's why Sfardim would eat dairy equipment food together with meat. Mamash with meat. Or fleshik equipment food mamash with milk. So again, Sfardim following the Shulchan Aruch would take pasta that was made yesterday in a clean fleshik pot, and they would gladly sprinkle it with cheese. No problem, because Sfardim considered that to be absolutely parv. Not bar not deteira, absolutely parv. Ashkenazim are somewhat concerned with the position of the Rivan, that the whole kula of not bar not is only if it doesn't apply if it was actually cooked. Here, the pasta was actually cooked in the fleshik pot. Rivan says that's not parv. It's actually cooked in the fleshik pot. That's fleshik. So Ashkenazim, as I said, are somewhat concerned with the Rivan. We're somewhat concerned with the Rivan. We're concerned with chatchila. We wouldn't mix cheese into it. Right? But if the cheese ray was mixed in, we wouldn't throw the food out. And we wouldn't mix cheese into this spaghetti that was cooked in the fleshik pot, but we have no problem eating the spaghetti on milchik kelim, right? And, right, number one, number two. Number three, we wouldn't mix cheese into the spaghetti, but after eating the spaghetti, we don't become fleshik. So we can eat cheese after the spaghetti, not a problem. And then, so those are three of the kulos of Ashkenazim have. And then Avraham Ramah said, even the Rivan holds that the Gemara means something. So if it was merely alu, if you did indeed take, you know, fish hot out of a power of a grill and put it on a fleshik plate, that remains totally power. Put all the cheese you want on it once you take off the fleshik plate. And finally, the general rule of Aleph Bezud, of Eino Ben Yomo. Right? That anytime you have a flavor in a pot or a pan, if the flavor sits for 24 hours, it can no longer impact any other food. So if I have a fleishik pot that's been sitting in the cabinet for the last 2 days, so I'm not allowed lechatchila. It's aser. It's an iser maisa. I'm not allowed to use that pot with milchiks. But even if I actually put milchiks in the fleishik pot, it wouldn't make that milchiks treif. And certainly, if I put parava pasta in the fleishik pot, if it's eino ben yomo, it's not going to make the pasta fleishik whatsoever. And that is the sugya in a nutshell. There are always more details, but that's the essence of the sugya of not bar not. And Mitchum, tomorrow we're going to move on to the next piece of Gemara, which is related to not bar not, the world of davar charif. All the cutting sharp onions, and you've picked up in the past that cutting onions, you cut the onion with a milchik knife, and it was a big problem, and it wasn't really clear to you why. The knife was clean, everything was cold. What could be the problem? So tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to dive into the sugya of davar charif, which is the next piece of Gemara. Kuf Yud Aleph on Beis to Kuf Yud Beis on Aleph. It's the next simon in Shulchan Aruch. Not bar not with simon tzadi hei. Davar charif is simon tzadi vav. It's a fascinating and practical world in and of itself. So those are Mitzvah Shem coming attractions. And we're going to head to Seder right now.